Welkom bij een nieuwe aflevering van Burnout to Boss Babe. In deze aflevering spreek ik met niemand minder dan Lauren Hendricks. Which is gonna make me talk English right now, because I'm going to introduce one of my best friends, Lauren. And Lauren is straight from California to the, I want to say sunny Antwerp, but rainy Antwerp. And Lauren moved here for love, but she is here right now and taking over Antwerp by a storm, I would say. With her makeup and hair skills, she is incredible at her job, but she's even a more incredible person. Lauren, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for being my first guest on the second season of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I know the former episodes are all in Dutch and you will probably not understand shit.
I know, sorry guys.
However, I was going to ask you the first question, who you are. And actually in the car over to the studio today, you talked a little bit of Dutch. So can you introduce yourself in your best Dutch?
Ja, dat kan. Ik ben Lauren. Ik kom uit Amerika en ik woon in België bijna 4,5 jaar.
Amazing. Did you use the G klank in that? No, because
G?
No, the G, because
goeiemorgen.
Goeiemorgen, yeah. Your G is incredible for an American.
Thank you.
I love the juicy American Dutch.
Yeah,
I love it.
I think I overdo it because I overcompensate because I don't know what I'm doing, so.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do the schje?
Schje.
Yeah, it's actually
schje. Yeah.
Because a lot of people always fall over. No, that's not the vallen over. Yeah. Anyway, that was
Flanglish.
Flanglish. I love Flanglish. Okay, so Lauren, but okay, all jokes aside, who are you? What are you doing in life? Tell us more. Who is Lauren?
I came to Belgium almost 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago, for love originally. I fell in love with a Belgian man. And unfortunately, things didn't work out the way that we had planned. But I had already made Belgium my home with my friends and my business. And I am a hair and makeup artist. I have been for 17 years now. And I started in California as a bridal hair and makeup artist. And during that time, I did cut and color, photo shoots, things like that. And I was excited to move to Europe to see where my career would take me. So I came for love, but I also came for new adventures and new opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like this is home?
I do. I think that you can make anywhere a home.
Mm-hmm.
I think as long as you decide that that's what you want to do, and if life took you somewhere to kind of accept everything and just, mm-hmm. yeah, you can make it your home for sure.
Nice. Yeah. Cool. So I wanted to ask you as a guest, not only because you are one of my best friends, but I also wanted to talk to you about the difference of running a business in California
mm-hmm.
Versus here in Belgium. And can you first tell us about your job in California? Because you already briefly mentioned that you were doing cut and color. Also, you said you were doing this for 17 years, but you look 17. So I'm just like, what?
It's a beauty industry, baby.
Yeah. So can you tell us more about working in California? Mm. Like, what was it like?
Yeah. I think the biggest difference between working in the States and working in Europe is most hair and makeup artists are independent contractors. So we all start out with owning our own business, basically. Mm-hmm. It's just how the tax system is there. It's just more beneficial for creatives. And coming here, it was the first time when I first started working here as an employee doing my job. So that was very interesting. It was very different. But I would say the biggest difference, of course, is the tax system.
Mm-hmm.
I think in America, it's so completely different the way we're taxed. But I also think there's a lot more rules in Belgium as far as small businesses are.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word? Business hour openings, whether or not you can play music in your salon, you know,
mm-hmm.
different things like that you have different costs over. So I think I lost my time.
you hopped on, hopped over to the difference between companies, but what was it like for you working in California? Like, because you are an independent contractor, so that's the same as being zelfstandig.
Yeah.
So does that mean, for example, the salon you worked in, they didn't hire anyone like you did here? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So they didn't have anybody on a payroll.
Yes.
So yeah. we would be contracted out to do certain jobs and we get paid for the jobs that we did. Mm-hmm. But we kind of, we worked there a lot. So it kind of felt like being an employee, but it wasn't, you weren't on that kind of payroll. So I started that for 10 years. I was a lead artist for one of the top hair and makeup companies in California. Mm-hmm. And I became, shortly became one of their educators as well. And during that time, built up my cut and color clientele as well. And so I basically had no days off in my 20s. So,
yeah.
But I think that's a big difference moving here as well, is the work-life balance. And I think that there's a lot of things in play that help people here just day-to-day life. So they're working to live, not living to work. Mm-hmm. That's a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something that we talk about in the podcast so often, like work and life balance. I think being independent and having your own company versus being on a payroll, that's a very different story. Because 100%. I think the hustle culture, having your own company in Belgium because of the tax system alone. I mean, you know how much I need to, I mean, I just paid 23,000 euros to Belgium because I did too well.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, great. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Belgium.
You're almost being punished for being successful. Yeah.
So I think the hustle culture is huge still in the entrepreneur world versus being on a payroll. Everything is like, I mean, now I'm not sure if you heard, but there's a law that they're talking about when you are having a back issue, so like a hernia or whatever, and you are on the payroll, you can have leave medically, but paid. Mm-hmm. So they're working on the law. So, I mean, that is amazing, right?
Yeah.
But then versus our hustle culture being entrepreneur.
Yeah, I know. Double-edged sword.
Yeah. But okay, the tax system. So can you tell us very practically, so you are an independent contractor, people hire you, so the salon you worked for where it felt like you're an employee because you were there all the time, they pay you, because you told me as well, you pay them or you paid them to hire a chair or a seat in the salon, or how does that work?
Yeah, most hairdressers go off of booth rental. They'll do commission base or booth rental. So commission base would be they wouldn't have an hourly rate, but they would get a percentage of all the services that they did in the day. Okay. So if they did a full head of highlights and a cut and things like that, they would get commission based off of that. Or you could do booth rental, which means that you rent your own booth, but you provide all your own color and products and curling irons and, you know, your hair cutting shears and things like that. You bring everything in, you charge what you want, you get the full amount of what you want. Most people go rental because in the long run, even though you're providing more as far as products goes, you have more write-offs, you can charge what you want, you can come and go as you please. And most people just work better that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You moved to Belgium and then you got, you first started with Pascal Van Loenhout.
Yeah.
And then that was payroll based?
It was in Belgium, they have certain companies when you're first starting out your business that you can use their VAT number.
Ah, yeah.
So, so I went with Smart to do that because I just started out. I didn't know what the system was here at all. Mm-hmm. And I was getting my visa approved. So the first 4 months I lived here, I couldn't work because I was getting my visa process took 4 months to start. Mm-hmm. And then once I got my what is it, a little orange card before you get your identity card? Yeah. It's what people
is
do immigrate here.
Is it e-identity card? Is it that?
No, it's a little orange card that you get that makes it so that you're allowed to work and you get a number. Finally, you get like a Belgian number, which was very exciting. And then I started working at Pascal because I learned of Pascal in California because when I knew I was moving to Antwerp, I was looking at salons, and he was one of the top salons, and he also is a big Kevin Murphy educator, which I worked for Kevin Murphy, or worked with their products, and I knew a lot of their distributors and things like that. They got me in contact with him, And unfortunately, I went into the salon during a really bad period of his life, and the salon was changing and people were leaving, and I was filling in for somebody who was on a burnout. So I wasn't really a stand-in employee.
Right. I remember.
Yeah. So I first got started there, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So I was there for 2 months, and then I was back in isolation for another 6 months. Mm-hmm. And before the people I worked with, they were opening a salon and asked me to come with, which I then was an employee, and mm-hmm. I switched over to that whole world.
That whole world. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe funny sidetrack story.
Yes.
Like how we met.
Yeah.
I will tell my perception
yes,
of reality,
please do.
But correct me if I'm wrong. I think we met in 2019 because mm-hmm. I was going to get married in September 2020. Mm-hmm. So I started going to Pascal in 2019, and because I was looking for a new hairdresser, and I actually Googled hairdresser Belgium mm-hmm. or Antwerp, which is very unlike me because I tend to choose vendors or shops or whatever when I hear it's word of mouth or I see it on Instagram. But okay. Mm-hmm. And then I went there the first time, and the second or third time I saw you and I was like, oh my God, she's from California. Oh my God, like I was dying because as you know by now, like I'm an American born
yes.
in her own country.
Yes, yes, she is.
Yes, please universe, get me a green card. Okay, anyway, so I was like, hi, can we be friends? Like I didn't say when can we be friends, but I was super excited. And I remember after you told me you had a very shitty client before
yeah.
me and
mm-hmm.
she was being a little bit of a cunt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then... I loved you from the start, and you were like, I wasn't myself really that day because somebody upset me. I mean, you told me a little story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I was very excited that you were going to be I hoped you were going to stay there, but of course, COVID schmovitz. And I found you on Instagram. I think it was via the people who left, who were going to open the new cell. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but I found you on Instagram
mm-hmm.
and I just bought a new lens for my camera. And I mean, your then boyfriend was also pretty handsome and you are gorgeous as fuck. So I was like, okay, I need a really nice couple and we can't really shoot. Like, so I invited you to have a little shoot at the Kaaien van Antwerpen.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus, your friend, Frenchie, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He came with you guys and I was like, oh my God, she's so pretty. It was such a nice shoot.
Oh, it was such a fun day. And if I go back to my side of the story, I remember you sat in my chair and I did have a crappy day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling myself, like, this girl is so sweet. She does not deserve me not being myself. Like, I have to be myself for her because that person doesn't matter. And it was really difficult in the beginning working in a salon in another country because the people are different. The expectations
yeah.
are different. They're like, first of all, I was filling in for someone they all loved. So I was filling in shoes of a person I never even met before. And also just the Belgian culture as opposed to American culture. I was like,
mm-hmm.
I was very intimidated
yeah.
and felt it was very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of days where I was like, I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know the background I have. And I have to prove myself to all these people who don't know me. Mm-hmm. And it was a trip.
So terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to pronounce anyone's names. They were all new to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember that day really well. And I remember when you contacted me during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was something to do as well because we were all in lockdown. And
oh, we're so bored.
But I just remember, that day very well because you... As a photographer, I've worked with so many photographers over the years.
Mm.
I mean, every weekend I'd see 4 or 5 photographers. I was in photo shoots. But I remember I kept telling you that day, like, mm-hmm. you're so good because of just the way that you are with people and the way that you... No, it's true. It's so it's so uncomfortable
yeah.
being in front of the lens
mm-hmm.
because I'm always behind it as well. Like
true.
With you, I'm always doing everyone's hair and makeup. So being in front of it is always awkward, especially
mm-hmm.
for... couples and families, they're not models. They don't
no.
know what they're doing. So I think that you have this incredible way of making people feel special and heard and not take themselves too seriously, which a lot of people here do take themselves very, very seriously.
Yes.
So I think that you break that for people, which is really special. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I didn't like, I wasn't going to fish for compliments.
I felt like you needed one.
Thank you. And that is why I love America because it was one of the questions, but okay, back to that story really quick. But thank you for doing that because I think
yeah.
after that, I think that was 2020 and now we're 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
like almost 4 years later after that shoot. And I feel like you're one of my closest friends. Mm-hmm. And it's wild how we like voice message. Like we actually podcast each other almost every day.
We do.
About life. And then we send stupid TikToks to each other. Yep. We're on the same algorithm. So I'm so glad.
Me too.
You are still, well, at least for now.
Yes, I'm still Antwerp. Here.
Yeah,
still
yeah, here. Yeah. But then you mentioned something very accurate, was I was going to ask you, the culture in Belgium. So we've talked about this before, like where I feel uncomfortable sometimes being in Belgium as to the small-mindedness. And I feel people are very negative. And I think people listening to the podcast think like us, where they're like open for the conversation and being complimentive. Is that a word? Complimentive? I don't know.
Complimentary.
Yeah. You know what I mean. But for example, I've seen you work in the salon, and I, like, as a friend and as somebody who's a fan of you, I've felt uncomfortable in your place where I've seen clients come in not wanting to really speak English, where I was like, the fuck? We're in Belgium. You speak every language in the world, basically, because Belgians adapt. We can speak French-ish. Yeah. We speak English, we speak Dutch, and sometimes we speak German or Spanish or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I see these people coming into your chair and they're like, ja, hallo, ja, ik kom een haar doen. And then you're like, hello, I'm Lauren. Yes, how are you? You're just so bubbly and nice. And then you see these stupid Belgians. Ali, just for the record, I don't hate Belgians, but because I love just my different. Country, but it's just the culture and the way how we adapt, but then we don't. So can you tell us more like the experience you felt over the years being here and what it's like working with Belgian people?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference is the culture. And and in the beginning, it was really difficult for me. But the good thing that I have is coming from America, we're such a melting pot of cultures that I, doing brides for so many years, I dealt with so many different nationalities and cultures and realized that their behavior was coming from a cultural difference, right? So I, in the beginning, it was hard because I really wanted to be accepted and I felt like I was kind of, I was adapting my makeup and the way I dressed and I was lowering my voice and I was like doing, because I felt like I needed to kind of like blend in a little bit when I first moved here.
Yeah.
And then I realized, wait, but the thing that makes me different is because I come from somewhere else, you know what I mean? And then once I started being authentically myself, I started attracting the right people. But I think the difference with, like, there were some people that took me and some people that didn't. And the people that gravitated towards me were the people who had that open-mindedness, like you and so many others. But it was really difficult for me because, one, people don't compliment each other.
No.
They're quite quiet. I kind of, I'm very good at reading people and mirroring people. And I could tell some people that just didn't really want to talk. We're weirded out how open I am and would always make comments that Americans were loud or fake and it's just different. And then I think once I started understanding Belgian culture, like learning the language and learning different things, I started really understanding where it came from. But in the beginning, it was really difficult because I felt like it was dulling my shine a little bit just because of the judgmental aspect of it. But with anything, you can learn how to get over those kinds of things and move past it. But it was a strong hurdle for me in the beginning.
Do you still feel that way?
No, not so much anymore because I laugh with it now. And I think when I learn the language and I start knowing all the little like words and why people and like understanding like the history of Belgium and how it was created as a country and why there's like a feud between the Dutch and the Belgian and the French and the, you know what I mean? And the Germans and the, like every abbey I went to was like burnt down during the French Revolution or like there was always, Belgians are always fighting for their independence and who they are. And it creates this like strong exterior because they, you guys were taken over so many times by different countries.
Exactly.
And you hold on to your culture so much with the beer and the fries and the, like, you know what I mean?
And, it's
like,
and we don't even realize it.
No.
No. Because I once had, sorry, not to interrupt,
no,
you
fine.
Know, I had a therapist once explaining exactly the same thing where she's like, you have to imagine us being like farmers in a corn where we hide our heads because we're afraid to be, our heads are being chopped off. Because from the Romans until World War II, we have been attacked the entire time. And this is where I think it's so ironic. When I, last time I was, no, one of the times I was in the States a couple of years ago, I went to the museum in Washington, D.C., Smithsonian, but one of the museums, and it was about the American culture. And then I saw an exhibition about World War II, and I was like, oh, is that how America perceives how World War II happened? And I was like, now I understand why Americans are so offended all the time, because but you know what I mean? Like, I totally understood the perception, like our perception of World War II was totally different than America's, where like one of my best friends lives there as well. And she's like, yeah, but everybody also always wants to attack America. And I was like, what? Like, I never saw perception is really reality. Yes. And that's how we create our culture.
Yes.
So I think it's so funny that Belgians see themselves a certain way. I don't think we realize how we can be sometimes.
Yeah.
Because that was a question I was going to ask you. Like, what with all the jokes about America? Because I just saw your face like glitch when I said attacks.
Oh, no.
But how? I mean, you told me like when we made a little joke, we were at the dinner table once, the four of us with your former partner and then me and my husband, and we made an America joke, and I remembered you like, oh, you always make jokes about America. And then I was like, oh shit, yeah, we actually do.
Yeah.
Although I love America, but
yeah,
it's so like, yeah, how is it for you?
It's different unless you go there. I think the biggest thing I get annoyed about is when people compare us to like social media, like the Kardashians and the things you see on TV, like Selling Sunset and the Desperate, or not Desperate Housewives, but like the Housewives and the different things that they think reality. That America is. And like, we're all filled with, we all have plastic surgery and we all are fake and we all, to a certain extent, yes, you'll have that. But like, it's the same thing with anything when you come here. Not everybody is cold. Not everybody is closed-minded. It just depends on where you go and the kind of people you associate with. It's the same thing there. It's just that that is glamorized with social media, that's what people think it is.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like I have to defend Americans. And also the loudness of Americans. People think we're so loud and we're so this and we're too much, blah, blah, blah. But we come from a very optimistic culture. Again, it's the culture.
The American dream, huh?
The American dream, the picket fence, it's the whole thing of why people go to America. They go there for this bigger dream. And it is a very free country. Mm-hmm. We have more rights with certain things. We're not so constricted, where I felt here things were constricted, where you can only have your shop open from this time to this time. And you can only do this. You have to do these many holidays, and you have to get this back. It's like, even though it benefits everybody's life, it felt very constricted. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the American way, we're always so, let's find a solution. But here it's like,
This is what it is. And then
it is what it is.
If you want to find a solution with our government,
you
can wait a million years.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the biggest thing is just kind of defending that aspect, and we aren't all fake and we are all this nice. And of course, when you go to a Starbucks or you go to certain places, it can be over the top. They all are, you know, but they also go off tip systems and things like that.
Of course.
Again,
service-based,
it's just
industry.
Different. It's just different. That's what I just tell everybody. Like, it's hard to compare because they're not the same thing.
No. And I think also what a lot of Europeans think is that New York and California is America. But America is a lot of small towns, religion, farm. It's a very, very big country. And we see on TV a world that, like, my biggest dream is to have an RV. Yes, you heard it. I want an RV. But it's a 5-star luxury RV. So don't get your, like, no, it's not going to be a van, like a Volkswagen. You know me. But I'll do like an RV. And I want to see all the 50 states. Because my most precious memory of America is when I did the West Coast. And I went into, I think it was Arizona or Phoenix or that valley, Monument Valley, where I was like, wow. And I went to LA as well, and I liked it. But I was like, oh, okay. Because what you see on TV is not America. It's a part of it, and it's one place, and it's one, like, honestly, next time I go to California, you really need to come with me, because the only thing I want to visit is Disneyland Anaheim. Yeah. And I mean, that's a question I didn't prepare.
What is your
Disney experience being an American? Because for me, it's like, but is that because you worked for Disney, no?
It's actually really funny that you asked that. My family is a Disney family, big time. My mom grew up down the street from, in Anaheim.
Anaheim.
Across the street from Disneyland. My mom has all the original e-tickets. My grandmother.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
How much money does she want?
Like my grandmother and grandfather, they actually collected the Disney animation cells, like the original the cartoon stills and everything. And then my brother worked at Disneyland for a long time. I also worked at Disneyland for a short period. And actually, him and I had an orientation together, so we got to go backstage and we got to do our whole orientation day. Mm-hmm. And I was I had a Disneyland pass ever since I was old enough to have one. So it was huge in my family. And for us, that was just what we would do mm-hmm. on the weekends. Or my cousins and I, when we were 16 and stuff, we would just go to Disneyland all the time. So it was, yeah.
And that is why you are a sister from another mister. I love your life. It's amazing. Oh my God. Incredible. The memories you must have in your heart.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. What do you miss the most about America?
What do I miss the most?
I was thinking Target.
Yeah.
Target.
I actually wrote that on my notes last night. I was like, Target. And because it's the convenience. You go mm-hmm. to Target and you have groceries and you have clothes and you have stationary homeware. You can buy a bike. You can buy makeup. You can get a Starbucks.
So
they have a Starbucks in the front of every Target. You know, it is a one-stop shop. And the convenience that America has, like it's just everything. It's 7 days a week. Some things are 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And you never have to worry if something's going to be open or not. You never have to. I mean, I had the luxury of living in California where the weather is also constantly decent. So you don't have to worry about the coats and the jackets and the trams and the, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's just you get in your car and you go and everything's close by and everything's convenient. And I think that was my biggest hurdle. And it's something that I still have a hard time with because I've seen how it can be mm-hmm. different. And it's not. And it's like here, it's like, no, we're not changing anything.
No.
Like, ding this way. And it's just, it's frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I last night I had to get a bread for today. Mm-hmm. Super boring story. But there's a store nearby, The Deli. Not sure if you've seen it. It's like a supermarket-ish.
Yeah.
I bought tomatoes for €5. And I was like, what's the actual fuck? Because it's a shop that's open from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. And I was like, what the hell? Like, how can these prices still be okay? Like, you know, like,
yep.
But okay.
Yeah.
What don't you miss about America?
I don't miss the politics.
Ah.
I don't miss the politics. I don't miss the gun violence and the stories about gun violence every single, I swear to God, it's like every single day. And also because of everything being convenient, it's a very consumer, materialistic way where everybody is fed so much information all the time that every time I'm there, all my friends are on some kind of fad diet or now they're doing this and now it's gluten-free and now it's that. And it's like everybody is going on this wave of how they should eat and what they should do and what they should wear. And it's very image-based. And that's also the difference between my business there and here is in America, it was very YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok, all these tutorials and all these things. People are so heavy into the beauty industry. So the beauty standards are way higher because everybody does their own hair and makeup. And when I came here, I was like, I didn't look like a drag queen, but you know what I mean? I look like so much more than the people here. It's just because the beauty industry isn't such a focus here. It's not shoved down your throats. And I think where it could be a little bit more emphasized here because people want it. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All the girls I talk to want these products, but
it's a shame.
It's a shame.
This is the thing that we talk about when we do the photo shoots. Mm-hmm. So just for people listening, Lauren and I, we do like, so as a business photographer, I always put Lauren as a first hair and makeup artist. I have preferred partners, but since you and I are so well what's the word, like intertwined? No.
Yeah, we make a good team.
We make a good team.
Yeah.
of course, people listening who I work with as well, I love everyone. But the thing is that when I introduce it to my female clientele and I tell them, listen, one of my standards before we do a photo shoot is that you hire a hair and makeup artist. The directions are always the same. Oh, but yeah, but I don't usually do hair and makeup and I will probably look different. No, you will look the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm, and don't forget, it's photography. And yeah. I will see every little crack and every little thing on your face that is not good. And especially when you do branding, it's a commercial. I mean, you have to look the best. And it's not that you don't look beautiful. You can just look even a better version of it. It's like, where, I mean, if you wear a plastic bag, of course you're not going to look the best. I mean, of course, like, and it's just the vibe and the shame we have
in the
guilt.
It's the first impression. Yeah. When people see you, I used to work weddings and I've always put my image first because I just love to do my hair and makeup. Ever since I could do it, I did it. I loved it. It was always my passion. But I would show up to a job and I would show up with full hair and makeup and my outfit and everything. And the girls would gravitate towards me to get their hair and makeup done as opposed to the girl that's in sweatpants nothing done. It's just a human nature thing. So if somebody has their hair and makeup done for a photo shoot, people are going to look at that. That's your first impression.
Yeah.
You know, they may have never met you before, but see your picture on a website or whatever, and that's your first impression. And if they see that your hair is frizzy, you didn't care, you know what I mean? And in the picture, you're just like, people, they don't mean to, but they judge that they're going to have a first impression.
It's just society.
Human nature.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't mean you're not authentic because that is the thing where they're always like, oh, but I'm not myself. No, you are.
Yeah,
you are
100%.
Still yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The beauty industry is very different here as opposed to the States. Yeah. It's wildly different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm. And that's been difficult for my job and to be able to, because people don't see the need for it as much as they do in America. So that can be, it can be a very, it's been a strong hurdle for me and developing my career here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They say in marketing, when America does something or has a culture, we are 3 years behind. So Holland is like 1 year behind or 2 years behind. Uh-huh. And we are 3 years behind. So
I get that.
Well, if you stay three more years,
we'll see.
Jumping to another topic of this podcast that I wanted to talk to you about. In America, a lot is religion-based. A lot of people are very religious, Christian. All other religions, I can't think about it right now, but religion-based. Whereas in Belgium, when you tell people you go to church, you're almost castasized, that word?
Yeah, castasized.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people are like, wow, you go to church, you believe in God, like, what is wrong with you? Like, it's weird.
It's
but
not
in
popular.
America, if you say you don't believe in God, you're like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, something is wrong. So I wanted to talk to you about religion because you, in America, you were raised in a certain religion.
Yeah.
And what do you want to share on that?
Yeah, it is very strong in religion. It's crazy because I'm trying to think of why it is, but it's just the culture there. It's just the culture, and it's very common to meet someone and get married and buy the house and have the kid. And, you know, like it's very traditional in that aspect. I was raised in a very strong religion, and it was, it shaped very much of who I am today. I left it when I was 19 years old, and it's very different. I actually liked coming here, and that's something I really liked about the Belgian culture is there wasn't pressure to have a belief system and what you believe in, what are your politics, and what's your stance on this, and da 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 da. You don't have to be so opinionated here. People didn't really care that much, and that was something I really liked about here as opposed to America. I think there's a lot of pressure on that, and there can be a lot of judgment with your views.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, people have like maybe judgment on whether you buy a house or not here. It's different. I mean, everybody's going to have some kind of idea, judgment of what you do with your life. But I think religion there is very, very, very prominent. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us in which religion you were?
Yeah, I was raised a Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. Did I tell you in kindergarten I did a lot of Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, you did.
So for me, the Jehovah's Witness will always have a little weak spot, although, and don't hate me for this remark, but it's something in maybe not in American culture, but in Belgian culture, when you say you're Jehovah's Witness, it's like, oh, it's the cult.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
You left the religion.
Yeah.
Do you feel right now it's a cult, or how would you perceive it?
I think I was completely brainwashed.
Okay.
Yeah. And when I got older, I realized when I left, it was like the first time, like I saw for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so much more love and people that weren't part of the religion. And mm-hmm. it was so strict that it had, like, they were so judgmental of anybody who wasn't in the religion, and they were all cast aside, and we could only be, because, you know, I didn't celebrate holidays. I didn't go on camp trips. I wasn't able to do soccer or tennis. Yeah. Or I couldn't do any out of school activities because it would have me socializing with kids who weren't part of the religion. So we were like
secluded.
Everything. Yeah. I did independent studies. I didn't go to public high school because I was socializing too much with the kids that were part of that. And I only had my Jehovah's Witness friends. So it's very, you're like in this bubble. Mm-hmm. And it was never really, I never like related to it, never really found the passion in mm-hmm. it. I never loved it. I questioned it all the time. Yeah. And it broke apart my family, and it still to this day drives a huge wedge.
Your mom is still in the religion?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's so funny when we talk about Disney and Harry Potter and all that, yeah. where we're like big geeks, yes. you and I. When I had my friends, well, they're still friends, or I'm going to call them acquaintances who are in the religion, because like you just mm-hmm. mentioned, you can't come that close because, yeah. They were like, oh, you can't watch Harry Potter because yeah. it's black magic and yeah. it's Satan and blah, 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 blah. Like, whoa. And then when you told me you have a Disney family and you and yeah. your dad went to see Harry Potter, yes. for example, like, was it something you did secretly, Disney and Harry Potter, or how?
They left that all up to your conscience, to be honest. Okay. Like, that's not like a, it's not so bad. Like what you watch, they of course they advise to be careful with what you watch and what you let in. But like my dad loved fantasy. Mm-hmm. And so my dad loved Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Star Wars. And we grew up going to all the midnight showings of all of those things. So yeah. it was very, my mom hated it. She thought it was evil and it was Satan and blah.
Okay.
But my dad loved it. So for us yeah. kids, you know, they could only keep us away from it for so long.
yeah.
But yeah.
And no. When you worked in Disney, what age were you?
I was 18.
Okay, so you were still in the religion when you did the orientation.
Yeah, so I was still kind of.
You're already like 18? At the verge of maybe.
Yeah, I was 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And the reason I only worked there for a few weeks is because I got into cosmetology school for hair and makeup. So yeah, I left because the schedule is just in the line and I went full-time school. So mm-hmm. I worked in like a little Japanese anime store. Nice. During that time.
Wow. So cool. Love that. Have you been to Comic-Con?
I went to Anime Expo, but I always wanted to go to Comic-Con. But because I worked so much and it was always in July, I think, that's one of the busiest months of the year. So I was never able to take the time off to go to Comic-Con.
No. Yeah. I really want to do, because I did D23 when was that? 2022. Uh-huh. That's where we...
Yes.
A week later, mates, our baby. Yeah. But I went to D23 and I really want to see Comic-Con one day.
Like. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Okay, so now you left religion. Mm-hmm. What do you believe in today?
I'm a very spiritual person. Mm-hmm. I'm very in touch with energy, universe, being just a good person, just, you know... I'm one of those like rose-colored lenses kind of person where I just believe in humanity and being kind and being a good person and a bit of Buddhism, but like, you know, just mm-hmm. that kindness and karma and things like that. And I think spirituality is just it just looks different to everyone and everybody finds their avenue of what mm-hmm. they want to believe in, whether it's going to church or doing this or whatever it is, it all comes from the same place mm-hmm. and believing in a higher power and whatever that looks like to you. And mm-hmm. I think that having that hope and that faith is beautiful. It's what gives us purpose. It's what gives us meaning. Mm-hmm. And no matter who you are or where you came from, I think that we can all agree that we all have this like similarity in mm-hmm. our beliefs. It just looks different to each person and each person has found their way. And I think that that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We always send each other these funny TikToks or reels about like spiritual
yeah
techniques, and we're like manifesting yes. and then these stupid little videos. I think we sent them to each other as well, like where somebody explains that you put your manifestations down on a piece of paper, then you throw cinnamon in a piece.
Yeah.
Like, did you say, I was like, wow. I'm like, okay, that's a little bit too far for my mind. I personally definitely believe God, universe, whatever it is. And then I kind of believe, like, because you and I, we believe in horoscopes and all that. I also really like human design. I really want to get into, have you read anything?
No, not really.
Because apparently that's also like combination between horoscope, like your birth chart, and then some other stuff. But it's very like scientific. Okay, anyway. Where I'm like, I feel like God or the universe, whoever created us, has given us these tools as to, I feel like when you're like a pure Christian, you're like, no, manifestation and horoscopes are not real. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but everything is real.
Yeah.
It's just a tool.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you need to like just make your life the best life.
But manifestation has been proven scientifically as well.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a woo-woo thing.
No.
Like you have football teams and things like they go off manifestations.
Yeah.
Like they're able to win based off of their like, do you know what I mean? Like it's not just it's the way that we trick our mind and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes with religion, they think that, oh, that's kind of manipulation, which can be like the quote unquote devil's work. You know what I mean? Or whatever. And it's not. It's that we're all built of energies.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have this energy that we put out there. You feel it if you're somebody like us who are empathetic and we feel the energy of people if they're having a bad day or a good day or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we can kind of feed off that energy. And it's the same thing with manifestations and the energy. Like I said earlier too, when I came here, I was not being my authentic self and I wasn't attracting the right people. And as soon as I was, then I started attracting the right people. So it's just that like kind of law of that. But I think that you can absolutely believe in God and manifest as well.
Yeah.
I think that it all, goes hand in hand.
Hand in hand. Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Originally, you moved here to Belgium because of love.
Yes.
But the relationship is not longer going on.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us something about that? Like love and moving for love? And I mean, not that we need to tell the world about your former partner because, I mean, we're not going to...
All due respect.
Yeah, all due respect. But I mean, whatever you want to share on that.
Yeah, I mean, I, in California, I was married and I had already gone through a divorce. And because my job was so demanding and the people in my life demanded a lot of my time, and I was so unhappy, and I was so unhappy in love, and I had this crazy breakup, and then I met my ex, and he gave me this hope of something different and a different life. And for me, it was just like, I have to go because I settled before and I got divorced. And I thought, well, let's try this out. And I'm never going to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather see, like go and say, whoops, it didn't work out. Or I'd always wonder what if I didn't go. So I took that risk. I jumped. And it turned out way differently than I had expected, but way better. And I don't regret any of it.
Mm.
I don't. I definitely think that love is not everything. And I found that out quite quickly moving here. But once I knew that, then I knew, okay, life brought me here. Let's make the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and I made friends and I started working out at one of my favorite gyms and starting to become part of a community and finding little things here that I really loved. And I learned so much about myself and I was able to heal. And I took COVID times to really go do that shadow work and that inner work on myself that I was never able to do in California because I was so overwhelmed with how people needed me all the time for whatever it was. I said no to nothing. So I was constantly running around, and this was the first time when I moved here that I could actually just build my life as Lauren from California and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it was for love, it ended up being for myself, which is way more of a powerful statement. So I decided after we broke up that I wasn't going to make the reason I came here the reason I left.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be on my terms, and I'll decide when I want to do that because now this is Lauren's journey and not Lauren and my ex's journey.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I think it's really brave that you took that leap and jumped. I can imagine coming out of a shitty breakup that it's Did it feel like a way out?
Coming here?
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah.
I ran away a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's okay.
I mean, I think we all kind of do in our own way.
And I mean, every Hallmark movie starts with a runaway person to a small town. So, I mean, that's basically what's happening here.
Yeah, exactly.
You are my real
Virgin
life.
Virgin River.
Exactly. Yes. Or Gilmore Girls, actually. Gilmore Girls. Because
yeah,
the origin
true.
Story is that her name is Lauren
it
in
is?
Real life. Lauren Graham? No?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In the series, she's called Lorelai. Wow. Mindfuck. Okay. Anywho, so you ran a little bit, but that's fine. I'm glad you ran, because if you wouldn't have ran, I wouldn't have met you. Yeah. So that's cool.
I have so much gratitude for being here.
Yeah.
And I was walking through the Grote Markt the other day and was just thinking how lucky that I am. And even though things didn't work out the way that, you know, me and Max originally thought that they would, that I'm so grateful and I don't regret anything. And it's just
that's
been a really amazing experience. And I actually texted him that because I wanted him to know that I was really happy. And I don't want him to think that coming here ruined my life or anything like that dramatic. So,
yeah. Would you ever date another Belgian guy?
That is the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't have the best experience dating a Belgian guy, but that's just because he also didn't come from a bigger city in Belgium. And so his mindset was way different. You're laughing because you know. She knows him, so she knows. But also, I just feel like the culture is very different and that is very difficult. But if I had met somebody who had the same values as me and had that same open mindset that we do and wasn't so strict to the Belgian culture and it has to be this way, then maybe, possibly, I never say never, but it's not my goal to date another Belgian guy.
Okay. And what do you think is the biggest difference between Belgian guys and US guys?
Ha,
that sounded very Belgian.
Sich,
voilà.
Allez. I would say that I was actually talking about it last night with my friends. There's something that I see about the Belgian men here, just to point it out, is they have their friends from school and they meet somebody through friends of friends, because the guys here don't really go up to you and talk to strangers. They're very much needs to be in their friend group or somebody they know. They meet that girl, they buy a house with her. It's very, you know, at a very young age-ish, kind of. It's a common thing I see. And the girls are friends with the guys' friends' girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then she has her girlfriends, but it's always apart from her partner. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't really make friends with her girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is very, you come into my world.
Yeah.
And I think dating would be very difficult here, because in America, you go to a bar and guys come up to you, buy you drinks and talk to you. And
so fun.
You can either say yes or no. You know what I mean? You can say, oh, no, I'm not interested, blah, blah, blah. Or it could be somebody that you do. It's much easier to meet somebody because the mindset's very different and it's very kind of closed off here. And so I think it's difficult to even make a connection with someone. Mm-hmm. Like, our circumstance was so different with my ex that, we met on holiday, basically. So,
Yeah, and though it makes me think about, because we were just talking about religion and why is religion so important in America, and I feel along this conversation that it's a lot about community, and people need we need our little bubbles, we need our groups, because I feel like, for example, a country like America, which is so big, although Belgium is much smaller, people are very lonely.
Yeah.
People need each other, people need a group where they can just be themselves and have their little, they can just be who they are and be welcome. And you're right. I think in Belgium, getting in, but really getting in, is not easy.
Yeah.
I also feel like, for example, in my marriage, I kind of stole my husband away from where he came from. And he's not really friends with the people he was friends with. But I mean, that's not my fault.
That's not your story. No. But you're also not the typical Belgian mindset.
No,
because
I don't have a clique of friends myself. I have girlfriends all over. I mean, when I do parties, I invite all of you and you meet each other then. But I don't have what a lot of Belgian girls have.
Yeah. It's a specific.
I have these 10 friends from school. And I'm like, no. I mean,
I'm the same. I have friends from all walks of life, all shapes and sizes, all different.
Yeah.
So, so different.
I'm really grateful for that. I think you are too. Like when you learn from so many different people in the world, and I mean, not in the world, even if you're in your own little country, but interesting.
Yes.
Can you tell us what is the difference between dating and having a relationship? Because I feel, I mean, it's when we in Belgium, when you're on Tinder or Bumble or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm going on a date with a guy. But we don't say we're dating. We're just together, I feel like. I mean, maybe it has changed because I haven't been single in 6.5 years. But what is the difference between, in America, you're dating somebody and you're in a relationship? Or how does that, like, how does it like define? Do you have a conversation?
Yeah. I mean, you would make that you'd have that conversation where you would decide, okay, we're in a relationship. We're in a monogamous relationship.
Okay. But dating, would that mean that you're just like dating,
talking to somebody
and then maybe also other people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's my first time being single in a long time, so I don't really know what the kids do these days. It's been a journey for me. Not very successful one, but
Lauren, I should be.
But yeah, I think it's in America, I think with dating sites and stuff, people are just too available all the time. So people have too many options and lots of situationships out there. Mm. And I'm unfortunately a part of one of them. And yeah, well, it is what it is.
Mm.
We don't have to go there. We don't go there.
Well, guys, great. We love men sometimes. Anywho, let's not get into the situationship because,
I mean,
this podcast will air and hopefully have a very long life. And
yes,
let's hope that the person who listens to this within 6 months, your life will look different.
Yeah, you never
and
know.
Either with a good partner or not. It doesn't matter. Like, we'll as long as it's not with a caca guy. That's all I want for you.
At this point, I'm just taking it day by day and seeing where life takes me. I'm just trusting the current and where it takes me and just enjoying the ride as I go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would prefer you to not live, I'm just going to be honest, guys, but I'm from Antwerp. Ik ben van Antwerpen, dus ik mag dit zeggen. She lives in Deurne, but in a hood where it's not the worst place to be as a single California gorgeous lady.
Mm.
And I just, honestly, I just want you to live like in the south of van Antwerpen, het zuid, and have a very cool guy, and then you're just like protected when you walk on the street, because unfortunately, we have a country where these days at night. I mean, I don't.
In the city, you just have the risk, and being alone and single in the city is challenging and difficult.
Durne,
and
it's not even the city, but it's just it has some hoods which are not so nice at the moment, and
you just have to be more aware. Yeah. And it limits me being social and going out, and that takes away from your quality of life.
And also important, when somebody listens to this podcast, Lauren can't have a new driver's license in Belgium. If somebody knows how stupid our system works and wants to tell us more, if you're from America listening to this and you live in Belgium, you're like, oh, but I know how it got fixed. I mean, it's a whole story, but please contact
Help
us
me.
Because this girl can't drive a car anymore and she can only ride a bike or the fucking tram.
Like, which is horrible. Know?
That's just not the vibe.
No,
not the vibe.
Not
the vibe. No. What is your biggest dream as an entrepreneur or as a person?
Oof. That's a big one.
I thought you prepared for this interview, Lauren.
I did. But I was like going on the fly of my cuff.
Fly of your cuff? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, fly of your cuff. I hope that's correct.
Well.
That I'm saying that right. Anyway, my biggest thing is, and I think my biggest purpose in life is what I'm doing. I found what I'm doing for a living at a very young age, and I really found my purpose in life, which is was touching people and making them feel better, helping people, making people feel beautiful and seeing themselves in a different lens. I love listening to people. I love learning from people. And I just want to take that and I want to expand it. I want to go around the world. I want to travel. I want to share the experience that I've had and the knowledge that I have. And on the same token, learn from others as well as I go.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share the love that I have so deeply inside of me and how I see everybody so special and so unique. And I just want others to see each other that way as well. Mm. So I think that the biggest difference we can make in this world is just being kind to each other and to, yeah, listen to each other and grow. And that's just my biggest purpose, is just sharing that love and the beauty and all that. I don't know if that's the...
yeah, that's nice. That's
the
nice,
right.
Yeah.
But I would love to be an educator. I would love to be paid to travel the world to educate, to, you know, to have this and also, you know, maintain my clientele. And and I think that we never are too big for anything. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And my when I ask my coaches, for example, like, what are your goals, your dreams? It's always about money, but you barely talk to me about money dreams. Uh-uh. Do you have money goals?
I just want to be in a place where I'm comfortable to be able to go back and visit my family and to be able to do the thing that I love the most. Because I think that the most successful people, when they're passionate about what they do, the money just comes. And it's never something they have to worry about.
True.
It comes to them because they are so authentically in their purpose and where they're supposed to be, that the money comes without having to worry about it.
Nice.
And no matter what, it always works out because that passion is always there and it's authentic. Mm-hmm. And that's what attracts it. As long as you stay authentic to what your purpose is, the right things and the right money and the right career, it will all attract to you. And it has, for me, for the last 17 years, always come to me because I was always authentic in what I wanted. So I never worry about money, but I know that it's going to come regardless.
Yeah. You don't chase, you attract.
Exactly.
Final question.
Yep.
Of course, I know the answer to this one, but you have to tell our audience, do you want to stay in Belgium or do you have other countries on your bucket list where you want to move to?
I love Belgium. However, I don't want to live the rest of my life in Belgium.
Understand, yeah.
I have a very strong pull to the UK and in Scotland. One of my closest friends is Scottish, and I've been going there for 18 years and back and forth. And it is a place that has a very strong hold on my heart. And just the UK in general, when I'm there, there's a lot of American influence. I love the history and the nature and there's so much about it. And I know it's actually a colder country. But that's never been an issue for me. I mean, yeah, the weather is not great, but whenever I talk about things I don't like, it's never the weather.
You had 30 years of California, so I think you're good.
I had lots of sunshine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you still look tanned whatever season it is. So I think you're
exactly
fine.
So I think it's just a lifestyle. I think that I look towards now, and just kind of like a calmness to my life, and then I wouldn't be so far away from Belgium, and I can still come back and see all the people that I love so much.
Yeah, and my dreams. You live in Scotland, in your. I always think of a cottage. I always think you're in a movie, The Holiday or something.
Yes.
I don't know, like a little cute cottage with a really sexy guy.
Yes. The great accent.
That's a great Scottish accent. I can't speak Scottish, but a cool guy.
Nobody can.
And then every few weeks we do a photo shoot together and you just fly over and you sleep in my house.
It's an hour
and
flight.
Then, yeah, whatever.
We can make it
I
work.
I would love, yeah. And then when we're 80 years old, you and I will be in a retirement home in Florida.
Watching
I already
Little
decided
Princess.
That. Yes, watching Little Princess. We, in COVID, we did something illegal. We can tell about it. We can talk about it now. We used to have a place at the seaside in Bindanum. And I said to Lauren, we have to get out. We have to go and have a weekend together. And we watched Little Princess, but we also watched it while drinking, I think, 2 or 3 bottles of wine.
Oh,
and it was very, very marginal.
I think we had like 2 to 3 bottles each.
Very marginal. We are not going to say that drinking, because also it's 4 years ago, hey guys? So please give us some credit for this, or 3 years ago, I don't know. We were sobbing, we were crying, and still
headache,
when I see, it was horrible. Still when I see the movie coming by on Netflix, I'm like, nope.
Too soon.
So if you have any experiences with Little Princess, let us know.
Yep.
Yeah.
All the feels.
Lauren, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram as lauren.hendricks. With an X.
Need with CKX because I used to write
it's like
it
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yes. So HENDRIX.artistry. I'm on TikTok as Sils McGee.
Sils McGee. I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. She'll put it in the notes. Yeah, sorry about the spelling, guys. No. But yeah, that's where I do a lot of tutorials. I post a lot of my work and just fun personal stuff as well. So
if people want to book you, they do it directly via an email, DM, or via the Pascal Van Luna website. How does it work?
All forms. You can DM me. And on Pascal Van Lunout, on his website, you can book for a cut and color on the website. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if people want to book you for makeup and hair, so like we provide for our photo shoots, you do weddings as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do weddings, events, photo shoots, things like that. And that's all, via email and Instagram.
Although important, you are thinking about the Scotland dream right now.
Yes.
So you are only accepting people a couple of months in advance, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
I'm so honored.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. It's actually the first time I'm recording in the studio.
Yes.
Very exciting to do this a little bit more professionally.
Yes.
But thank you. Lieve vrienden, bedankt om erbij te zijn vandaag bij deze aflevering. Ik hoop dat jullie het oké vonden dat dit in het Engels was. Ik beloof dat alle andere episodes gaan gewoon in het Nederlands zijn. Maar ik wou toch Lauren erbij vandaag... ik hoop dat jullie er wat aan hebben gehad. En ik zie jullie graag, of ik hoor jullie graag volgende week voor de nieuwe aflevering van Burnout to Boss Babe.